Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I know some of you are wondering if there's any other scripture in the Bible, or wondering if I know if there's any other scripture in the Bible. But the Lord's trying to help us with this. This will be probably, I think, number 8 in our series in this chapter that we've been looking at on the subject of renewing the inward man. Renewing the inward man, and our text is in verse number 16 of chapter 4. Of course, we've been dealing with the whole chapter, and we won't get done this morning, I know, so we'll just chip away at it and get what I feel the Lord wants us to have, and then we'll dismiss. But look at chapter 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." You ought to remind yourself of that this morning. The valley that you can see, the troubles you can see, the heartache you can see, the Bible says is temporal. Simply put, it will have an end. It will have an end. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, then you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name today to the throne of grace, and I want to thank you for your sufficient grace and abounding mercy, Lord, in our behalf. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in church. Thank you for the desire to be here. Lord, you gave me that desire, Lord, when you saved me. Lord, it came in with my new birth. My attitude changed toward the Bible and the things of God and the people of God and the house of God. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that, Lord, you're the only one that could have done that. Lord, I was hopelessly lost. I was bound for hell. Lord, I'd be there today, probably, no doubt, if you hadn't intervened in my life, if you hadn't interrupted in my life, our Father, I would have probably, no doubt, still be lost. If not in hell, I would be out yonder somewhere in the clutches of sin. But I want to thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Lord, I've not been what I needed to be over the past 34 years. But dear Lord, I just want to thank you again, if from my heart. Thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for changing my life, putting up with me, giving me, Lord, your patience and your grace. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'll help us to magnify you. And Lord, I plead the blood this morning. I would be a fool to stand in this sacred desk to try to share the word of God, dear Lord, with my heart not right with you. Lord, thinking I could do it in the energy of the flesh. Lord, I would never want to do that. Lord, even I now want to pause before I preach and say, Lord, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus for my cleansing. I pray you'll forgive me for anything and everything, God, that grieve you, quench the spirit in any way. Have your way this morning. Help me to preach, God, with the power and unction of the Holy One. Help me, dear God, to stand between lost men and hell. Help me, dear God, to stand, dear Lord, as your ambassador. Lord, stand in your stead and declare, thus saith the Lord. Father, I don't have a clue the needs that are in the service this morning. I know we have a number of folk that are out today, but I pray for those that are even here this morning. Lord, you know our needs. And Lord, you don't ask questions to get an answer. Lord, you know where we are at. You know what's going on. You know every area of our life, and you're here this morning to help us. May we look to you. May we have our ears open to your cry. May your word and your ears be open to our cry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The context of our chapter is very clear. If you go back in verse 1 and read down through the verses, it's very evident that Paul is writing from a context of conflict. He's letting us know, for instance, and we'll look at these verses after a while, verse 8 and 9, we're troubled on every side. Now, Paul wasn't exaggerating when he said that. That was his testimony. That was his experience. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He said, we're bearing, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. And then, of course, verse number 17, he talked about the light afflictions, which worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. And when Paul's talking about light afflictions now, he's not talking about stumping his toe. He's talking about 35 years of imprisonment and beatings and snake bites and shipwrecks. And he lists some of those even, and we'll look at those a little bit later on if the Lord lets us get there in another message. But he identifies a lot of his trouble. And I believe what Paul is saying in verse 16, the conflicts will wear down the outward man. The outward man is perishing. We're going through trials. We're going through and facing things that are in our life. And Lord only knows what we're going to face in 2015. Have no idea. Just what we can see, the direction of our country morally, the direction of churches spiritually. I want to tell you, it don't look good far as that is concerned in the future. But I'm glad we can look in the Bible and see and get another view. Amen. We can get the upward look. But Paul was talking about 35 years of circumstances that was beyond pleasant, that was beyond description, but yet God helped him through that. And what did he do, Brother Carroll? He wrote it down under the ink of inspiration so that you and I could read his account and let us know he made it, and the same God that gave him grace, the same God that put in him the inward man, my friend, and helped him will help you. Amen. And let me just interject something right here. If you're here today and you're lost without God, whatever we face, whatever you face tomorrow, the next day, this year, you don't have the inner man to be renewed. You don't have an inner man. You have no connection with God. So therefore, God is very limited as to help you in your troubles. Amen. Be good to get saved. Why? So you'd have the inner man. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And God would be your best friend. I promise you that. Amen. But we're looking at this passage on the subject of renewing the inner man. The very term renewal there in verse number 16 shows us that our spiritual life requires maintenance. Right. It requires attention. Boy, I'm telling you, I've been saved a good while, and I'm still amazed how quickly I can decline. No, preacher, not you. Not Pastor Racklin, not you. Oh, yes. I'm talking about, think about, and probably even in this service this morning, what a service we had Wednesday night. It was about more than I could bear. I thought I was going to blow a gasket. I'm telling you, my holding back straps were stretched tight, and I thought I was going to leave here. It was just my soul. But I want, and others, I wasn't the only one. Others like that on Wednesday night. But then I wonder, how's your week been since then? Because here's what I found out, and it's illustrated time and again through the scripture. When you have a spiritual high, a spiritual experience with God, the devil is going to attack. Amen. Soon as the children of Israel began to drink from the rock, guess who showed up? Then came Amalek, type of the flesh. Came in from behind, came in at a point of blessing. Amen. When you have victory, a lot of times a valley will follow it. You have a blessing, a lot of times a battle will follow it. Amen. But the blessings are worth the battle. But we've been looking at this, and I'll just run through this real quickly and get to where we're at. We've looked at the meaning of renewal. What does it mean? We talked about the must of renewal. This is not an option. If we're going to make it spiritually as victors instead of victims, then we're going to have to learn what Paul had in mind about the inward man being renewed. So there's the must. Thirdly, we talked about the maintenance of it. Fourthly, we talked about the manner of it, in that it's to be done day by day. That shows that it's to be systematic. That shows it's to be regular. That shows that you cannot take a break from your spiritual life. Anytime you give your life, spiritual life, any break, I want to tell you, it will stray quickly, and it'll go a long ways quickly. Amen. Then we talked about, and where we're at, I think, the motives of it. The motives, why renew the inward man? You remember that? We dealt with that. I'm not going to go back and re-deal with those. You can get the CD or DVD. The motives. But where we're at now is dealing with the method. Okay, preacher, we need the inward man renewed so that we can deal with conflicts. We can deal with negative things that comes in our life. And by the way, I want to just say it again. I don't want to be a quitter. I want to know what it's required. I want to know what's necessary for me to not be a spiritual statistic or a spiritual fatality. I want to know what it's going to take to where I, like Paul, can say that I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and I finished my course. I want to be able to do that. Amen. And I believe Paul gives us some insight of that in this scripture. The inward man needs to be renewed. The method of it. How is it that we do it? Well, here we go. And several of these I've already given you. I'll just mention them and get where we're at. Number one, we looked at in verse 1, we need to keep the inward man serving. Right. Keep the inward man serving. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Amen. As we have received mercy, we faint not. Just like Brother Silas said, I'm going through this and some things is out of his control and all of that. But yet, you know what he said? What is in my control is to do right. What is in my control is to still go to church and pray and give to God and do what you know's right. Amen. Keep the inner man serving. And I was just meditating on that again this morning. And I was thinking about how many times I've got in a shape and a condition spiritually. Ministry, I kept on ministering, Brother Tim, but I was having to do it in the energy of the flesh. Because my inner man had got crossed up with God and was grieving God. Brother, you talking about taxing, you talking about toilsome is to try to serve God in the energy of the flesh. Oh boy. Keep the inner man serving. Also in verse number 1, keep the inner man strong or strengthened. Avoid everything that will cause fainting in your life. And then we notice in verse 2, 3, and 4, keep the inward man seen. Make sure the inward man does not get hid. Amen. Make sure that it's very visible. That's what verse number 2, and I've already dealt with it in detail, but that's what verse 2 and 3 and 4 is talking about, is keeping the spiritual man visible. Keep the spiritual man evident. Amen. Now watch this. I thought about this, and I'll deal with it and maybe the next message or something. But Paul said in verse number 10 and 11 that he bears about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Why it manifests in our bodies? Why, Brother Silas, does God want that life manifested in your body? Manifested means revealed. Manifested means outwardly. Why? Is it so he can see it? No, he sees the heart. 1 Samuel 15 tells us that God looks on the heart. God doesn't have to look on the outward to see the inward, but man has to look on the outward in order to see the inward. Man does. That's why God wants your spirituality to be visible. That's why God wants your spiritual life to be outward and prevalent and public. Amen. So keep it seen. That's what he's talking about here. Amen. Keep it seen. Keep it where it's noticed. How do you do that? Listen, do you think the devil wants to keep your spiritual man hid? Of course he does. Why? Because he don't want men, women, boys, and girls around you to see the spiritual life that is within you. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. How's the devil do that? How does the devil keep your life from being seen? By disguising the life of the believer, verse 2. How do you disguise the life of the believer? By an unseparated life. Amen. Keep it carnal. Keep your life worldly. What is the devil doing through that? He's keeping the life that's within you hid. That's what he's talking about in verse number 3. But if our gospel, the gospel that's coming out of our life, the gospel that is coming out of our life, he said, if our gospel be hid. How is it hid? It's hid in verse 2 by an unseparated life. Right. An unsanctified life. That's how it's hid. Amen. You say, well, it's my business. It's my life. I don't have to answer to nobody. How I do? Well, listen, when you get saved, you think about others. Right. Before you get saved, you're thinking about yourself mostly. Amen. Right. But when you're lost, when you're saved, you think about others. I don't believe God's people wants to be a hindrance. I don't believe God's people wants to be a stumbling block. I don't believe God's people wants to be a stumbling block in the way of sinners. Oh no. But that's what the devil's accomplishing in your life when he gets you to disguise the life of the believer. And then in verse number 3 and 4, when he darkens the light of the believer. If our gospel be hid, it's hid them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Isn't that amazing? Verse number 3 is called our gospel. Verse number 4 is called the glorious gospel of Christ. Amen. It's one and the same. It's one and the same. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation. Does anybody know that? Have we forgot that truth? Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Listen, keep the inward man seen. Make sure it's visible. Make sure that it's open to view. And then, I've already touched on it just a little bit, but our fourth thing of keeping it, or having our inward man renewed, is to keep it separated. Keep it separated. Keep the inward man separated. And there's two categories here that I want to focus on probably for the message this morning. The first one is found in verse number 2. And like I said, I've already dealt with that in detail, so we'll not go in a lot of detail there. But the first category that we are to keep our inward man separated is that we're to keep our inward man separated from the effects of sin. That's the first thing. Verse number 2. How do we do that? By renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So the first thing he says here, far as the method, how do we renew the inward man? First, this morning we do so by keeping the inward man separated. And you'll see what I'm talking about as we go. Separated from the effects of sin. Verse number 2 starts out with 3 negatives. He said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. There's got to be a renunciation. That word means there's got to be a giving up, a disowning. I don't believe God's people will ever go too far with the Lord until they detach themselves from some things in their life. Amen. None of you would go swimming, would you, with a cinder block tied to your foot? You say, preacher, that's a lost cause. It is. You might keep yourself afloat for a while, but after a while, that cinder block will win. Why? Because it is constantly tying you down, constantly trying to pull you under. That is what attachments to this world deals with. Amen. It's anchors. Amen. It's anchors. Listen to this verse. I just thought of this just now. But in Hebrews 12, you know the scripture. We could quote it to you. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. It's our responsibility to do that. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. You know what? Paul, of course, I believe is the writer of Hebrews, and he's given us an athletic illustration, and he said, you know, even as a runner, A runner knows to carry around excess baggage and excess weight, and all of that is an encumbrance to them. It'll hinder you. It may not bother you at the first. You may be able to run your pace. You may be able to run your speed. But after a while, those weights will wear you down. Amen. And slow you down. Paul is saying in this verse, if you want to make it in the conflicts, we're not talking about making it to heaven. We're talking about making it spiritually as a victor. Amen. Coming out on the other end of this thing with triumph, as overcomers. And I want to tell you, I preach around a lot and preach here a lot, but I want to tell you, I don't see too many people's got a lot of victory. Saddest place you can go just about it now is church. Amen right there. Where's the joy at? Where's the happiness at that is associated with sins forgiven? Amen. I'm going to deal with it in this next little sub-point here before we close today, what I believe the problem is. But we need to keep our spiritual man, our inner man, separated from the effects of sin. Amen. I'm not preaching anything you don't know. I'm not preaching anything that you've not experienced. Am I right on that? You've been saved long enough. Most of you in here have been saved long enough that you have saw the effects of sin. As my friend, it drained the joy out of you. You've seen that in your life. How am I going to make it in the valleys and battles and burdens and trials and the unknown that's coming in our life and in our land? How am I going to make it? I've got to keep the inward man renewed. How do you do that? Keep it separated. Make sure that the things of this life does not attach itself to your spiritual man. Amen. That's right. But I want to deal with this one for the main part of the message this morning. Not only we keep it separated from the effects of sin, but I think that it's also illustrated in these passages we need to keep it separated from the effects of suffering. How many people have listened? Now, I know that may sound simple. Keep your spiritual life separated, detached from the sufferings of life. How many people, and I don't have to ask you to raise your hand because I know we all could, have circumstances and situations attached to your spiritual life? You say, preacher, how do you know we do? Because I have. I'm not supposed to have, but I do. How do you explain that, Brother Silas? Because when my circumstances are good, I'm up. Man, we're going to shout it out in church today. But what about when your circumstances are bad? Do we honestly believe this morning that God wants us to be controlled by the temperature gauge of circumstances? How can he prove to anybody that his grace is sufficient that every time we get in something that need grace, we fall apart? How do we show his grace is sufficient? Is that when the valleys come, we go on and praise God anyhow. When the troubles come, we go on and be faithful to God anyhow. We keep smiling. We keep worshiping. Keep your spiritual man detached from circumstances. And from situations. Paul had that. Paul did that. Look in verse number 8 and 9. Look at verse 8 and 9. And what I want to do is I read this list. I want you to understand that the first mention of the list deals with the outward man. The second mention of the list deals with the inward man. Look at it if you will. Paul said in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side. And let me just stop right there. I've said it before, but it's worth repeating. Show me in the scripture where the Apostle Paul, who suffered more than any of us, if not all of us put together, show me where he ever got discouraged. I've challenged, and it's not that I'm a know-it-all. God just put that in my heart, buddy. And I've challenged preachers everywhere. Show me where Paul ever got discouraged. I can show you where he got disappointed,
when John Mark left him and when all men forsook him and all of that. But as far as him getting disheartened to the point that he's just, that you see Paul declining, that you see Paul laying his responsibilities down, you don't see that. He stayed encouraged. Why? Paul made sure, Brother Travis, that his spiritual man, the inward man, stayed separated from sufferings. He said, outwardly, I was troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. But yet inwardly, he said, yet not distressed. Y'all see that? Yeah, right. I'll never forget when the Lord showed me that. I was preaching a rest home service to try to help those people. Listen, your outward circumstance may be bleak and dark and miserable, but on the inside, it can be joyful. On the inside, in the spirit, you can have freedom. Paul said, we're troubled on every side. You know what that means? Paul said, we are hedged in. Paul is saying, we're pressed in. We're crowded in. And the Strong's Concordance gives an analogy of that. He said, you know what that was talking about or representing? To press as grapes. They used to have them old wine presses. And what they'd do, they'd put the grapes in there, and then they would squeeze all the juice out. You know what Paul was saying? Outwardly, he said, it's almost like I've been in a press. And he said, it's squeezing all the juice out. Right. But Paul didn't look at that as a negative. Paul said, hey, you know what? The press is a good way to get what's on the inside on the outside. Hey, man, you had any grape juice lately? Some grapes had to get squeezed. Right. Amen, had to be crushed. Paul said, I am hedged in, I am pressed as grapes on every side. Every way that I turn, there's no relief. Every way I turn is something negative to deal with. You ever feel like that? Good gracious. That's life, isn't it? That's life. Trouble on every side. But then he said, Brother Silas, on the inside, the inward man, he said, is not distressed. Guess what that means? It is not crushed. Not distressed means we're not cramped. We're not squeezed. We're not crushed. Wait a minute. Did y'all see that? Does that sound like a contradiction? The outward man is troubled on every side, which means to be crushed like grapes. But yet he said on the inward man is not distressed, which means not crushed. Oh, the devil puts a pressure on you, and he will. But he thinks he's harming you. But in fact, he's showing the superiority of the spiritual. He's showing that the outward man can get crushed. The outward man can get squeezed. The outward man can, my friend, be cramped and crushed and hedged in. But the inward man, glory to God, the inward man, hallelujah, is not crushed. Outwardly, he said, the outward man is perplexed. Do you see that in verse 8? Perplexed. You know what that means? Come on now, see if we can relate to this. To have no way out is what that means. You ever been somewhere in a situation and your back was against the wall? And it seemed like there was no exit signs anywhere? Seemed like there was no way out? Well, I don't like them times. I don't like that, but I'm telling you, they come. They came even to Paul. And if they came to Paul, as godly a man as he is or was, I want to tell you, it'll come to your life. Amen. Folks, I'm trying to give you something from the Bible that'll help you in the days to come when you get that phone call, when you get that doctor's report, when you find out the financial status of our country and of our dollar is worthless. How are you going to make it? Back when the stock market crashed and they showed on news, you remember, I don't remember how many years ago that's been, Brother Silas, but it showed people jumping from buildings, people taking their life, losing fortunes, hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions. And they, what's the use of living? They jump out of their building, kill themselves, blow their brains out, hang themselves, whatever. You know why that they did that, Brother McCarricker? Their outward circumstance was attached to the inside. Paul is saying outwardly, I'm perplexed. I've been there. Paul has never preached this prosperity gospel that you hear on television. That's as far and from the scriptures as it can be. Amen. You never convince me, never live long enough to convince me that this prosperity gospel is in the Word of God. I mean, Jesus Christ was the absolute perfect man. Never even thought a bad thought, never did a bad deed, never done anything wrong. But he suffered more than I'll ever suffer. Amen. If you live right, you'll be healthy and wealthy. Man, I wish that was true. Are y'all listening? I wish that was true, Brother Fultz, that if we live right, we'd be healthy and wealthy. But the truth is, I know how I live. I'd still be sick and broke. Even if that was true, I know how I live, and I've been pastor here long enough to know how most of you live, amen. We'd still have a bunch of sickness in the church and people broke. Meaning that we wouldn't live up to par to be able to be healthy and wealthy. Say amen. But Paul said, we're perplexed. Paul is talking about an earthly experience. That's going to come in your life and mine, that perplexing is coming. That's outwardly. But look what he said is a contradiction of that. Inwardly, he said, we're not in despair. You know what that means? The word despair means loss of mind. Paul said, I'm still thinking clearly. I ain't lose my mind. I didn't lose my mind. Huh? Don't let your conflicts drive you crazy. Don't let your negative circumstances in your life that come, and they will. Hello? They will. Being saved does not exempt you from troubles, but rather gives you the endurance through troubles. Amen. To not lose your mind. Amen. You quit church, you're not thinking clearly. Quit reading your Bible, you're not thinking clearly. Turn to try to find help in immorality and worldliness and wickedness and drinking and smoking dope and popping pills. Hey, I want to tell you, you're not thinking clearly. Paul said the outward man is perplexed. It happens. But he said inwardly, we are not in despair. Hallelujah. To be at loss. We're not at loss here. Listen, a child of God can lose everything and still have everything. Hello. That's why Job, classic illustration of my point of keeping your outward man or keeping your inward man separated from suffering. That's why Job could bury all 10 of his children in one funeral. Man, can you imagine the hurt he had? Remember me preaching on Job's wife on a Mother's Day back a few years ago? Remember that? We get on her case sometimes where she said to Job, curse God and die. You know, he said, you speak like a foolish woman. Hey, she lost 10 children too. You know, she was hurt too. She was devastated too. Amen. Let's not get too hard on them. Let's not get too hard on them, all right? Hey, man, you don't know what you do to you walk in somebody else's shoes. Amen. Instead of being Holy Joe and Too Tall Jones, amen, what we need to do is pray for them. Pray that God will help them. Amen. If we was going through their trial, we'd probably do worse. Amen. Say amen right there. But Paul, let me go on. Paul also went on to say, we're persecuted. That's outward. That's the outward man that's perishing. He said the outward man is persecuted, which means to be followed after by persecution. Every way he turns. But inwardly, he said, we're not forsaken. Hallelujah. Paul said, we're not forsaken. That means we have not been left helpless. We have not been abandoned. We've not been deserted. We've not been left to survive. Glory to God. Are y'all getting this? What was it Jesus said in John 14 about when he's going away? He was going to send another comforter. another comforter, another, one just like me. And then he says, I will not leave you comfortless.
Right.
You know what that word comfortless means, Brother Mike? I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you abandoned. I will not leave you helpless. But I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of the believer. Outwardly, we can be, listen, we can be persecuted. We can be persecuted, but inwardly, we have help. We're not abandoned.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
He's in it with you. He says, does that mean anything? Ask the disciples that had the storm inside the ship. Jesus was asleep on the pillow. Did it mean something to have him on board? Did it mean something to have him in the same storm? Yes. What happened? The storm didn't sink. It was full and it still was floating. I look at some people's lives and I know what you're going through, or at least in part, and I wonder how they keep smiling. Brother Silas, hey, you keep coming to church. Hey, you keep, you know, being faithful. Brother Bob, you keep coming to church. Amen. And some of you others, listen, how do I look at you and I know you're full. The storm is inside. Amen. You've taken on water, but you haven't sank. You're still floating. The key is that Jesus is on board. And there never has been a storm that'll sink him. Because he specializes in walking on the water. He said, we're cast down. That's outwardly. Cast down. You know what that word means? What it sounds like it means. It means to be thrown to the ground. Have you ever felt like that? Child of God, have you ever felt like that? Just thrown, your circumstance thrown you to the ground? Huh? Felt like you've been run over? Huh? Amen. You said, preacher, does that happen in the life of a child of God? Are you kidding? Those definitions right here, some of you, listen, you can relate to those. But Paul said this, outwardly we're cast down, thrown to the ground. But I like this. Inwardly, he said, we're not destroyed. Goodness. That word means to be put out of the way entirely. To abolish, put to an end, to ruin, render useless. Paul said, yes, we was cast down. We was thrown to the ground. And I want to tell you, listen, come on now. It's not a bad sign for you to get thrown down. What's bad is if you stay down. Amen. We've all been down. We've all been thrown down. We've all been cast down. But a righteous man will rise seven times. Hey, he may fall, but he's going to get up. Can I say this? Perseverance is the sure sign that you're saved. If you get cast down and you quit throwing the towel, I didn't think it was going to be like this. Hey, amen. You know what the sign of a child of God is? Yes, they may get thrown down. Yes, they may be persecuted. Yes, they're troubled on every side. Yes, yes, yes. But listen, they just keep going. They just keep getting up. They don't quit. They're not looking for an excuse. Amen. Amen. When you need a songbook, where are they? How many of us have been blessed by the hymns in that songbook right there? Huh? The majority of them, Brother J.R., was not written in a sunshiny experience, but was written somebody's heart broken in two, somebody devastated. Amen? Oh my, that song, It Is Well. No, is that it? Yeah, that when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Man, that was wrote out of grief and bereavement of a man that lost all of his children in the watery grave. And he pinned down those words. Amen. Pinned down those words. Cast down, but not destroyed. Bearing about in the body, verse 10 and 11, that's outward. Bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord. but inwardly that the life of Jesus might be made manifest. Let me give you this right here. Think about this. Goodness, I'm not going to get done with this either. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. I hope some of you are listening to preach this morning. Because you're not, as a child of God, you're not going to make it with victory if you don't learn to keep separated the inward man from sufferings. Amen. You want to be a defeated person? Keep attached to your spiritual life, circumstances, treatment, how people treat you, how people talk about you. People abandon you, walk off and leave you, hug you and stab you in the back at the same time. Have all that attached to your spiritual life, and I promise you, you won't have no victory. Probably the greatest example in all the Word of God was Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look what he went through. Look what he went through at Gabbatha's Hall. Look what he went through in Gethsemane. Look what he went through at the scourging. Look what he went through on the cross. But yet the Bible said he had joy. You know why? The outward was not attached to the inward. His inward was attached to God. Amen. Amen. And no matter what went on in his life, it didn't affect him spiritually. Well, I want that. Y'all pray for me. I want that. No matter what's coming in our day, no matter what I'm going to face as a preacher of the gospel, especially a preacher if you preach against sin, any at all. Amen. People getting offended. Lawsuits and everything else. Yeah. And then this big mess going on now in our land, where a professor couldn't even he's in big trouble, hot water, because he graded a schoolwork paper and just marked what was wrong, but because the fellow was black, he said, you did that was a racial, you graded my paper racially, and there's a big mess. Hey, I'm gonna tell you, that's terrible. When you can't even do right. Well, I better get off that. I felt my blood pressure going up. But we don't know. Jesus, listen, he was a classic example of that. Let me give you some others. Noah. Noah lived in a day when nobody was living for God. Wickedness populated the world. But what did Noah do, Brother Trav? Noah stayed faithful. He was a preacher of righteousness. He stayed clean. He stayed busy. He stayed faithful to God when everybody else was mocking and making fun and immoral and wicked. How, Brother Mark, did that happen? Noah kept the inward separated from suffering. Let me give you another example. Joseph in the book of Genesis. God told Joseph at 17 years old, you're going to be on the throne. And guess what? Everything that happened in his life looked like he wasn't going on the throne. His brothers turned on him. Amen. Took the coat of many colors from him. Deceived their daddy. Put animal blood on it and tell him that Joseph was dead. Throwed him in a pit. Was going to leave him. And who was it? Benjamin said, no, let's take him. Let's get him out. One of the boys, one of the brothers was Benjamin. One of them said, let's get him out. And they sold him to a caravan of the Midianites coming by. Wound up in Potiphar's house, lied on by Potiphar's wife, wound up in prison, where he met the baker and the butler, and he was forgotten, and all of this was going on. But yet repeatedly it said through Joseph's what appeared to be a declining venture, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. He stayed right. He had a good spirit even though he was being done wrong. How did Joseph do that? He kept the inward man separated from sufferings. David, Psalm 23, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David, how can you do that? How can you go through that valley of the shadow of death and not fear? Because David kept the outward separated from the inward. Amen. That's good. What about the three Hebrew boys in Daniel 3? Bow or burn. And they said, we'd rather burn as to bow. They'd thrown them in the fiery furnace. Heated up seven times hotter. And I have all those degrees and stuff and written in my Bible. Listen, killed the men that threw them in. It was so hot. But yet, what was those three Hebrew boys doing in the fire? Come on now, good illustration. What were they doing? Were they in there with blisters? Were they in there with the burning? No. The only thing that was burnt off of them was the things that had them bound. And they were walking around in the fire that was hot enough to kill the men that threw them in. And they were in there fellowshipping. God turned the furnace into a fellowship hall. And they were in there when they looked in. They said, did not we cast three in? And they said, yeah, but there's four in there. And that fourth man is likened to the Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Keep the inward man separated from the effects of suffering. Daniel, chapter 6 of Daniel, the lion's den, same account. Let me give you another one. Acts chapter 7, Stephen. Stephen was being stoned. Outwardly was being stoned. But inwardly, he's praying. Inwardly, he's saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, he stayed right with God on the inside. Inwardly, he's seeing into the heavens and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Stephen was being stoned to death, but yet on the inside, he stayed spiritually right with God. Oh, quit blaming your trials and your troubles and circumstances for your spiritual decline. What about Paul? Let me give you that real quick. Acts 16. Paul and Silas in jail. Brother Chris, their backs was bleeding. Their hands and their feet were in the stocks. Looked as though they're probably going to be decapitated. Probably wasn't going to get out. But guess what they were doing? At the midnight hour, having a pity party. That's probably what I'd have been doing. I would have probably been saying, why me, why now, and why this? That's probably what I'd have been doing, and you too, come on. But what was Paul and Silas doing? Were they listening to the circumstance? No. They're spiritual. They were in jail outwardly, but they weren't in jail spiritually. Their hands were tied, but their spiritual man wasn't tied. And they were singing and praising God at midnight. Amen. Acts 20, Paul was told by the Holy Spirit that bonds and afflictions were going to abide him when he goes to Jerusalem. Do you know what Paul said? None of these things move me. Wait a minute, Paul. Holy Spirit told you that before you ever go, bonds and afflictions are going to abide you. And he said, you know what? None of these things move me. Here's why. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Oh. You know why we get all down in the dumps? Come on now. You know why we get all down in the dumps when troubles come and hardships come and the unwanted, the unwelcome, uninvited circumstance comes in our life? I'll tell you why. We don't count our life dear. We count our life dear to ourselves. Yeah. After all, why am I getting treated like this? Look at me. Paul, none of these things moved you. Why? Because you didn't count your life dear to yourself. None of these things moved me. Philippians 1, verse 12. Paul sitting inside of a Roman prison, writing the four chapters to the book of Philippians. Here's what he said, but I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places. Did you get that? And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Do you see that? Y'all see that? Hey, Paul said, my bonds was made known. What happened to me happened to for the furtherance of the gospel. You know where he was at? He was inside of Caesar's household. Chapter 4 of Philippians, he closes the book and he says, the saints in Caesar's household salute you. Wait a minute. Saints in Caesar's household? Where did they come from? I'll tell you where they came from. As Paul was put in prison and they had rotating guards chained to him round the clock, how would you as a lost man like to be chained to the Apostle Paul? Do you think he talked about the Vols or the Gamecocks or the Titans or a big fish? No. I promise you every one of those that came in and was attached to Paul by chains. That is, I see Paul grinning a little bit. Next. Get them locked in. So now you're not going nowhere. Let me tell you about when I was on the road to Damascus. Let me tell you what I used to be before Jesus Christ came along, before he saved me. Let me tell you. And I mean, one after another, they'd get saved. And Paul said, look, before I close the book of Philippians, let me just tell you, there's some other saints in here that wants to salute you, church at Philippi. Saints in Caesar's household. God may be letting you go through things just so you can witness to somebody that you wouldn't ordinarily see, never would have met. God help us to be conscious of that. Paul, many times, again and again, chapter 1, verse 20, 21 of Philippians, he said, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Listen to what Paul said. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ be magnified in my body. Listen to this, everybody listening. Whether it be by life or by death. Paul, how can you say that? Paul saying, God, I want you to be magnified in my body if it's through me living or through me dying. Paul, how can you say that? The next verse answers it. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We're going to stop right there. But I'm telling you, if we're going to have victory, if we're going to listen, the whole context of this chapter is conflict, hardship, adversity, troubles, trials. The outward man, as a result of it, is perishing. Getting weaker, declining, weakening, weakener. But the inward man is being renewed. The outward man's falling down. The inward man is standing up. Why? The inward man is getting strength from above. Amen. I want to know how to finish this course with joy, don't you? I don't want to be a fatality. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want somebody to say, oh yeah, hey, Preacher Rackley used to preach. He used to serve God. He used to live for God. I don't want that. I want my friend, when the last breath leaves my body, listen, I want it to be sounded out that Brother Rackley stayed true to God through all of it. Amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Amen. I don't want the outside, Brother Carroll, to be attached to the inside. I don't want the circumstances, sufferings, my friend, to be attached to the inner man. I want my inner man to be fed and nurtured with heaven and the Word of God and the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name.